decision is all based over there. Stories, made up stuff. They're not here. They're not real yet. When you make a choice, you're making choices on things that are actually real.
You have to make decisions to minimize how, you know, badly that problem might be for you.
The parachute opens after you jump. Like, you have to jump.
Choices have to happen, and you can't just freeze up.
He told the prosecutor, he's like, why would I solve these problems when I have buttons on my desk for people that solve these problems for me?
I think if you can just try and get it right most, like, 80% of the time, like, I think you're doing pretty freaking good.
Welcome to the Seven Figure Salon Podcast with Rachel and Drew. I'm Drew.
I'm Rachel.
Welcome to the show. Very, very important topic to discuss that is always overlooked, and it's decisions. And I'll add a caveat to that. Choice. They're different.
Yeah, right? I agree.
You're going to have to make a ton of decisions, a ton of choices, and a lot of people have trouble making the first couple, and they think that is difficult. You're going to have to make the choice that may have you on the fence now, and then that is going to open up a ton of opportunity, or that might look a little bit like screwing up.
Sometimes, too, it's like people will not make choices or not make decisions because they're scared or they're fearful of, like, what is on the other side. And there's a level of self-sabotage to it, I think, too. Mm-hmm. Like, quite a bit of that, I think, is
stay
like...
Stay safe.
Yeah, stay safe, stay small... You know, like, what will people think? Like, those are a lot of the...
What if I fail?
Well, yeah, what if I fail?
Probably will. But then you'll learn, and then you'll win.
Yeah. So there's a lot of call them limiting beliefs, I guess. But, you know, yeah. those are definitely, like, that verbiage, whatever you're, like, feeding to yourself. Like, be aware of that.
Mm-hmm. And just because a thought pops in doesn't mean you have to believe it, you know? And just because you don't do it right doesn't mean that you failed. The definition of the word failure linguistically means to not complete a task. That is, look it up, but look up the original development of the word, the Latin development of the word. It means to not execute or not complete a task. People make it ontological, which that means they make it about themselves. Like, I as a human being, I as a man, I as a woman am failed. That doesn't even make sense. You can't be failed. You're alive. You're there, you know? So
right. That's
not real. And furthermore, you're going to drop balls and you're going to fail. And remember what I just said failing is. Remember, you have to kind of change your brain on what the word means. Through the failure is where you acquire wisdom. Because if you come in and you just do everything right the first time and you make all the right choices, all the right decisions, what do you learn?
Nothing.
Nothing. You don't learn anything.
Nope. And I think it's also, like, in the world that we're in with social media and, you know, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, whatever, like, everybody likes to highlight the great things that happen. And so it can appear that, oh, these people never make mistakes, or these people are always winning or always on top or always successful or always things are always working out. No, like, that's just what they're highlighting. Like, there's all kinds of shit that doesn't work out. I mean, even with us, like, there's all kinds of shit that doesn't work out. It's extremely important that you guys, like, view social media as that. It is a highlight reel of, like, it's curated. It's curated content. It's not the end all be all.
Definitely. Most people don't talk about the challenges, but we're here to tell you about some of them. Should we talk about some of our failures?
Sure.
Let's go. Let's talk about it. I'll talk about the most recent one. We're really excited. This episode will likely air after the event that we're doing here in like 5 days.
Are you about to talk about the hotel room fiasco?
There's fiasco after fiasco.
Yeah.
Failure after failure. But I don't even know.
I wouldn't say. I mean, if you're linguistically talking about failure, you know, you've got
not optimal.
Yeah. I mean, there's problems. Like, there's problems that are going to arise.
And problems aren't failures.
Right, exactly. So I think what you're talking about is actually a problem.
Fair enough.
And actually, I think after yesterday or day before, whenever it was, and we talked to Lane, it seemed like that problem kind of resolved itself, which is great, which then created a new problem.
New problem. Yeah.
So,
which is interesting. Like, talk about that. Like, we had a big, tell them about the problem. Tell them how it got fixed. Crazily.
Yeah. So the hotel that we're having our mastermind at, been screwing us around on the rooming situation. So when we first, you know, this is last year, like month, probably nine, I don't even know, months ago, maybe longer. We obviously selected the dates for this mastermind, got into contract with the hotel, and, you know, it's a big corporation, you know, Marriott, Westin, corporation. And so, you know, we talked to the person with sales. Yeah. Okay, cool. Dates are reserved. Got it. Cool. We're going to move you over into the planning development process, and they're going to go ahead and finalize your contract. Well, in the contract, it states we wanted a room block. We wanted our clients to be able to save money on their rooms, right? We don't want them to have to pay the full price for the rooms, especially when we are spending six plus figures on the mm-hmm. event itself. Mm-hmm. So we end up getting the rooms, and in the contract, it just says 100 rooms at 3 nights each. So 300 nights of rooms is what we reserved to be able to allow our clients to book. Well, the hotel did not specify what we had initially specified and what we had in our emails and on the phone calls and everything, that we wanted 50 kings and 50 queens. So we wanted 150 nights for queens and 150 nights of king rooms. So total 300 nights. And they didn't do that. And they just said, okay, 100 rooms at 3 nights each. So fast forward months and months later, our clients are booking rooms and all the queens sell out. And we're like, what the heck? Like, there's only like 30 something rooms our clients have booked that are queens. Like, where's the other 15 rooms that are supposed to be queens? And they're like, oh, well, it wasn't in your contract that you specified kings or queens. And I'm like, I know that we talked about this in the sales process. We have emails about it. I have documentation on my end that we talked about it. And yet you failed to put that one detail into our agreement. And so anyway, that created problems. And so then they said, oh, well, you know, you'll still have to cover the other 65 rooms, that are kings. I'm like, our clients are not going to book a bunch of king rooms. Like, they come, they're bringing a manager, they're bringing, their lead stylist.
Same bed, it's fine.
Yeah, like, that's weird. Like, a manager and an owner and an owner's husband and, like that doesn't make any sense. So, so I said, based on our clientele, like, we needed queen rooms, and that was very important to us, so much so that we talked about it 9 months ago. And so anyways, they were trying to say that we had to still owe 65 rooms times 3 nights. You do the math, and that's, you know, $35,000 of rooms that we would be responsible for if our clients didn't book them. And so several of our clients started booking at the hotel just down the way, which is still convenient, at the Marriott. And they found queen rooms there that were, you know, maybe a little bit more expensive than the room block that we had, but it was still cheaper than them buying two kings to try and get four people to sleep. So anyway, that was a problem. So thankfully, after going back and forth at the hotel, which kind of like sucks the fun out of the whole thing for me, really, and the planning process, is that we were able to get them to agree to release the rooms. And, you know, we would only be responsible, AKA happen to be billed for them, in the event that they did not sell. And then we got word 2 days ago that all the rooms were sold out.
So problem, right? We have to figure it out.
Yeah.
We're looking for a solution.
Yeah.
Solution is a maybe, which sucks. And there's and ifs to the solution, which sucks. Then they sold out, which we got randomly in like one morning. We're like, the room sold out. And then,
yeah, because we're trying to book five rooms for our AV team. They need five rooms, you know, and so that's 15 nights. And we're like, okay, cool. Like, there's plenty of rooms, obviously. Like, so let's do that. And then we reach out to the hotel and they're like, oh, your group link isn't working anymore because we have no rooms available at all for the whole weekend. I'm like, oh, okay. Cool, I guess. That means we're not having to pay $35,000 in cool. like 2 weeks. So that's good with me. But also that means our AV team has to sleep off site at a different hotel, which is also fine. But yeah, like, sometimes the decisions you make, you know, there will be problems, even if you are literally very organized, very detail oriented, making sure that you document everything. And then, you know, if there's another party involved and they kind of fuck something up, and then you're then having your face against a problem, you're having to make decisions to minimize how, you know, badly that problem might be for you. And then you could end up, if the problem solves itself like it did with us, and then all of a sudden now you have another problem. You're like, well, crap, now we have to buy rooms in a different hotel.
Yeah, you got to solve that and do that, execute that, and then Cole.
But there's choices.
On to the next one.
Yeah, there's just choices after choices after choices. So, you know, had we not, you know, had that problem, like, I mean, it's a good problem to have, the fact the room, you know, obviously, like, our event sold out, which is awesome, but then that created other problems. But choices have to happen, and you can't just freeze up and have analysis paralysis where you just don't do anything, and you just sit there and you're frozen, you can't make a fucking decision.
Because you feel bad.
Yeah, like you just have to keep pressing forward. Like it's required of you.
And we can't stop because we feel a certain kind of way about it. You know, there's you have to be a bit neutral when you're approaching. We're shooting from our house. I think you probably can't hear that dog in the background, but there is one. There's
we're outnumbered over here. It's spring break. Mm-hmm. Kids are home.
These mics only kind of come here, so. But there's gonna be problems, and what we try and do, and we're not perfect. We're human, you know. But really handling the problem, Rachel's actually probably better than this than I am.
I feel like you're better at it because I'm not as patient as you are.
We solve problems differently. You want to tell them about the gate? That's a perfect example, like on how our partnership and how we solve it. You know,
I don't like loud noises.
Yeah. So there's a beep. We got a new gate. The gate was fixed while we were gone. We had a little issue with it today, and it's on a timer. So I'm backing up really well. By the way, our big truck and our big camper. In the dark, backing it up all the way around a corner.
Drew likes really to back it up.
Yeah, I can back up a trailer. It's really good. From the band days, Josh. Like, I've had to back up trailers and RVs on a... We had this huge RV.
You didn't catch my joke. Jeez. Oh, I Josh got it. He's laughing.
Okay. Well, I'm just excited to talk about this. So the gate's open. I back the trailer in. And then Rachel's out there. And then it closes on the RV. Softly. Not a big deal. But then it's this beep is going off. It's like there's these little two blue and red lights at the bottom, like going, heep, heep, heep. And then there's this beeping noise going on. So
it was a very shrill, very loud, like for freaking 5 minutes. And I was like, I'm gone. I'm done. You figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, I was like fiddling with it. I was like, there's like this random key that we just got the gate.
She's
like,
pulling
fixed.
Keys. She's pulling things off. Like, shit.
And I broke in, a like, nail. Broke Hi, a nail. Look at like, my nail. It's I
very,
broke a nail.
It's very stressful over there. And I'm like,
it's also at nighttime and it's dark and we have snakes kind of. We live on acreage. There's could have been snakes.
I'm the one that got bit by a snake. So there's, anyway, so she's going there. I'm like, I got it. She just, walks. She just leaves. Let's go inside.
Abort mission.
In abort, yeah. So I'm looking at it. It's dark, you know, whatever. The weather, I'm like, the weather's nice. I can be out here for a while. Beeping, and I stop thinking, and I stop moving, and I just think, and then what do you know? A reset button on the side.
I didn't see it.
She's trying to rip the panel off.
I literally didn't see it.
Rip the panel. It's black. It's dark. I get it, you know? But I'm like, there's got to be something around here. You know, this has got to happen all the time. It can't be that complicated. So there, I find the reset button. I tap it. The beeping stops. You know, it says
Thank
reset too.
The Lord.
And then I giggle, right? This took me like a minute. And then I walk over, I punch the key. We pull the RV through, and then I go and punch the keypad in, and it just smoothly closes. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. And then I'm just like,
still,
over it.
Still pissed.
I guess. I was just like, over it. Like, I'm done. It's like 11:30. We came home early from our vacation, and I was like, I'm done. I'm going to bed. But yeah, like, you know, you're human, you're going to like make decisions, and you're going to like maybe make some decisions that are immature or aren't the best or don't show your best side or whatever. And, I think if you can just try and get it right, most like 80% of the time, like, I think you're doing pretty freaking good.
For sure. For sure. Not going to get it right 100% of the time. You're not going to do everything perfectly all the time. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And if you hold yourself to that perfection, like level of 100%, like obviously, yes, strive for that. Like I strive for that. Like I, like if there was ever a typo or something, like if something I typed, I would be like mortified. That's why
not my strong suit.
Not at all. At you all. Guys know this if you follow Drew.
Yeah, if I've written you anything, you know.
So sorry. He can't type worth a shit. Can't spell worth a shit.
Hey, you know,
I won spelling bees growing up, but like there's just certain things that, you know, like if like let's say you're used to being really good at a certain something, and then like all of a sudden you make a mistake, like just you're a human being, like who cares? And if people like crucify you for it in your comments or whatever, like sometimes people leave some mean comments on our stuff and I'm just kind of like, cool.
Good for you.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. And
thanks
the choice,
for the love.
Here's a couple choices. Like if I'm writing out something, I'll send it to our operations person, or I'll send it to Rachel to spell check for me, to double check, make sure everything is good before I send it out. Cause I literally like, I'm cool with this. I'm very creative. I like to facilitate things. I'm really good at bringing people together and getting things done. Like I love people. I'm good at that. Like you can drop me into a room and I can pull opportunity out of it. But I can't write a letter about
can't
it. I can
spell,
but it's painful. It's painful
spell
for me
coincidence.
To, no, like it's painful for me to go through.
You know, that was hard.
That is hard. No, you give me like the hardest word ever. You know,
and I have someone's listening. That is the only word.
Someone's listening to this, and they're like, spelling. "I can spell that."
Yeah,
idiot.
Good That's for you. Me. Yeah. Good for you.
So, but like, I make a choice instead of wallowing and like, okay, I'm good at a lot of things. This is maybe one of them. I will reach out to my team and have someone review it for me instead of you trying to do everything. You know, there's a story of Henry Ford when he was being cross-examined in a court case, and they were grilling him with these questions, you know, this, and here's my approach to it. You know, these guys are asking him specific questions about specific things with it when he was building his cars, and he changed the world. You know, Henry Ford's amazing. And they're asking him specific detailed questions about a particular thing. I forget what it is. It's in the book, but I don't want to butcher it. But you get the idea. Cross-examine, they're trying to hit it with details and be specific to these details and have him answer it perfectly and be perfect, you know. And then he told the prosecutor, he's like, why would I solve these problems when I have buttons on my desk for people that solve these problems for me? So you have to think like that. You know, I'm not good at spelling. I know there's people in my team that are good at spelling. I will leverage them to help me do that. And vice versa. You got to be able to do that and not be the one-stop shop, because you're not, you know. That's a really important thing to look at. And Rachel made a choice with the gate. She just went inside. She's like, she made a choice and boom, gone. And
then like, I'm out.
She's like, he's going to be able, more suited to handle this. And I did. And it was simple. It was easy for me, you know.
Yeah. My thing is just like, you know, like if there's an alternate, if there's like an alternate like route that can be taken, you know what I mean? And like mm-hmm. that person can handle that. Like delegation is super important. But if, you know, you guys are in a situation or a position where like you have to make decisions all the time, like number one, you're a business owner. So if you don't like making decisions, like, I mean, you might be in the wrong field, but like be prepared to make decisions very often, because your business in business, like if you're not moving, like you're not growing. And I can tell you that firsthand. If there's like ongoing, like recurring decisions that, you know, maybe like, I hate the word trigger you, but like trigger you or just
the word trigger triggers me.
Anyway, if you have decisions that are like, you know, constantly like causing like stress or anxiety or whatever it is, like, first of all, maybe identify that trend, you know? And then, you know, maybe send those types of decisions over to someone that can handle them better, right? So like in that instance, you know, Drew handled that situation better. But if you own a business and you are trying to grow, you're going to make decisions. You're going to have to make decisions. And if you're not making decisions, your business isn't moving, right? If you're not moving, you're not growing. And I can tell you that firsthand. So it's extremely important that you get comfortable making decisions and really like challenge yourself. If you are in the middle of a crossroads, you're like, you notice this trend, and it's almost like buyer's remorse. Like a lot of people do this, like they'll make a decision, and then like as soon as the decision is over, they're like, oh no, I like, they'll like backtrack, backpedal.
I want to go back in my safe bed and
not, yeah, like yeah. I'm like, no, after thinking about it, I basically thought yourself out of it. Like, can we be honest, you know? So I hate when that happens, because you immediately like, or it's like you get that like dopamine hit of like, yeah, I did it.
I feel
motivated, yeah. But then like, oh, just kidding. Never mind. It's like walking to the gym and doing like one sit up and you're like, okay, cool. I'm done. Yeah. I did it.
Nailed
I'm
it.
Here.
But crushed it's like, the workout.
You didn't do it. You did not complete it. Right. So it's important that you really try and look inward and figure out like if you have some of these trends, and like we just give you a couple of examples, but of different types of behavior that people do. So some people will self-sabotage. Things will be going really great, and then they have to fuck something up. They have to make it, they have to create chaos. They have to create a problem, right?
To stay small and safe.
It could be to stay small and safe, or to remain in a chaotic environment that they're used to, okay? For me, I have my own like behaviors where I have to be doing something all the time. And if I'm not, I tell myself that I'm lazy, right? So it's very rare that you see me. I probably have sat on this couch twice in like 2 months. Like I don't sit on the couch. I don't watch TV. Like I'm always doing something, and I have conditioned myself to do that. And yes, that like might be impressive to other people, but it's also like a problem. Like I have a problem with that. And I'm constantly like trying to bring myself into that awareness state of seeing that for what it is, and then trying to understand why do I do that, you know? And, you know, I have all kinds of personal development stuff that I'm doing on my end, but you know, like that's one thing. You might have another person that, like I said, does like agrees to do something or signs up for something or commits to something, and then they're like, yeah, I did it. Like, or they get that dopamine hit, and then they're like, oh, let me just like back out, you know? And like, you may have clients do this to you where they like put their deposit down for something, or they book an appointment, or they say, yeah, I'm going to get extensions. They put their deposit down. They always change their freaking mind. Like, you may have people like that. Or you might have somebody that gets like, seems like they're all in, and then they get to the very, like the actual decision making where like, yeah, let's, you know, green light this, let's do it. And then they sit there and they like flop. They're like, we call them like flip floppers.
They can't jump. They can't.
Yeah.
The parachute opens after you jump. Like you have to jump and you're going to fall, and then you're going to pull the parachute, and then.
Then, you know, you soar upwards. But it's like without any of those decisions being made, or you're choosing, decision and choice are kind of the same thing. Like, well, you're choosing one thing or the other. A decision is like, you know, it may not come as a yes or no. It may come as a this or that, you know, and you're going to have to make decisions and choices for your business.
Let me piggyback on that and explain the difference between choice and decision. So I'll try to be quick about it because it's pretty deep. So decision and choice. A choice, if you make a choice, it's option A or B. When you choose, you are in control. You make a choice, and then there's impact on the back of your choice. If I don't drink, right? Because I can't turn that off. Like, I just don't drink, and I don't even care anymore. But if I chose that, that was not a decision. It was a choice because I assessed the impact in my life, and then I chose to not drink. If I chose to drink, I could easily assess the impact. Cool, I'm a good time. We'd have a blast. We'd stay out late and smiles. But you keep going into the impact or the potential impacts of that, and I can clearly see which choice is better. So I choose that, right? A decision is often wrapped in what you hear people call a truth, an untruth, or a story, right? Depending on where what you're getting into. A story is stories that are running inside your head. Things, what if, catastrophizing scenarios, which negative things, catastrophizing. This is a lot of where like depression and anxiety come from, and their decisions, right? So stories are there, and then you make a decision based off of this manifested story in your head. That's not real. So if there's a story in there, what ifs, you know, what if I can't pull this off? What if I can't do this? What if I can't do that? Blah, 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 blah. Not real. Doesn't exist. Like, this is graphic, but real is like if I pulled, you know, a rib out and put it on the table, like that would be real. That is what we understand to be real as humans. Okay. So that's graphic on purpose. If I tell you about this, what if scenario, like what if, you know, what if I open the third location and then this happens and this happens? Well, that's a story. Didn't happen. It's made up. So if I make decisions based off of made up stories, I'm giving all of the power to that thing. That's made up thing that doesn't even exist. A lot of people operate over there. And then these stories are usually based off of like circumstance, situations, feelings. A lot of times we talk about our feelings, they're story based, you know? So that's why like, but they don't, like the feelings don't land on the calendar. Like I can't pay our rent with our feelings. So we're at the same time, we're humans, like we have feelings. So when you're looking at this, you got to be able to create what's called a distinction. Decision is all based over there. Stories, made up stuff. And you can do stories on positive things too, but at the end of the day, they're not here. They're not real yet. Okay. When you make a choice, you're making choices on things that are actually real. So you need to choose and you need to assess the impacts of your choice. That's how you move forward. And the choices are what will drive you forward. So you got to look, are you making a decision? Or are you making choices? Choices are impact and influence. Decisions are often, will keep you kind of stuck. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as you're learning all this information, you know, there's going to be certain things that stand out to you over others, and whatever that thing is, like start plugging that into your life and just being aware of like what you're doing, your behaviors, what little tricks are you pulling out when it comes time to make decisions? You know, like, do you make decisions easily, or do you sit there and do that whole analysis paralysis mm-hmm. thing? Like, start to really get to know yourself and like what your process is. And as you do this, you'll start to really like see other people and start to see mm-hmm. trends, you know, and be able to just, you're just acknowledging it. You're just seeing it and you're like, okay. Cause then you can start to anticipate and like strategize and forecast like what could happen based on
the impact of your choice.
Yeah. The impact of your choice, but also like the history of whoever this person is. Like if it's a stylist and you know, you're having a conversation with a stylist or the stylist is choosing to do X, Y, Z instead of doing ABC, like you'll start to see it can be very repetitive, mm-hmm. like the types of decisions, that people make or when they just choose not to make a decision.
Yeah. So then, and that was kind of two parts, right? So she was saying a lot about decisions and choice. So a lot of times when people are talking about, they're making decisions to you, right? Because again, decisions are based off of stories, which is built off of circumstance, feelings, and situations. And those have the power. That's decision. Choice is where you can see clearly the impact of what you choose to do, right? So you want to start making more choices, less decisions. You're going to make decisions though at the same time. Like you're not perfect. Even if you know this stuff, like you're going to kind of, we're human, right? You're going to kind of be like, oh, I'm getting pulled in over here. Or someone is telling you, so you can see someone is making the decision in front of you, but you can't go explain what I just explained to you to them. Cause that is unsolicited advice and people will just shut you down, you know? So we'll leave you with that. That was pretty deep dive on decisions and choices, but you're going to have to make them all the time, right? You're going to have to choose today. You're going to have to choose tomorrow. There's going to be 1,000 other choices to make. So make them quickly and don't be afraid to make the wrong choice.
All right, guys, we'll see you on the next episode.
Later.